You're listening to the Wobcast with the one and only, the legendary, the insurmountable Wobby.
Yeah, that's right. Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobschall, inside TCO Studios in Eagan, joined as always by co-host and producer Chris Corso. What's up, Chrissy?
What's going on, Wobby? We just wrapped up mini camp and moving on to the next set of things here at TCO.
It's definitely the weirdest part of the year for a football facility is when your off-season program ends. There's a 5.5-ish, 6-ish week stretch before training camp begins. And your regular staffers like yours truly and Chrissy and the rest of VEN, we still show up to work. We still have work to do, but football team's not here. No players, no coaches. So it's a weird downtime. A lot of planning, a lot of getting ready for the regular season, training camp content planning, all that stuff is what we'll be doing. But yeah, the football action has concluded. Mini camp is over. The Vikings had a 3-day mandatory mini camp this week. And as we record this Wobcast, we're fresh off of practice number 3 of that mini camp. And it was a big alumni day here at TCO Performance Center. Coach Zimmer invited staff and alumni out to watch practice, and then there was a barbecue in a big tent out on the practice field catered by Hy-Vee, a great Vikings partner. So it was a festive final day of the off-season program. First of all, Chrissy, before we get to the rest of the show, which we do have some stuff to get to, we're going to get to some Zimmer sound, some Kirk Cousins sound, Mike Hughes. We have an announcement that we want to make that's exciting for the Vikings Entertainment Network. We'll get to some of your mail, of course, and we have a cool discussion topic we're going to get to later in this edition of the Wobcast, so make sure you stay tuned to that. But before we get to all of that, 14-week off-season program, Chrissy, poof, gone. It's over.
Crazy. I felt like this year it really went like faster than some of the other years that we've gone through some of these off-season workouts. I mean, 10 OTAs, 3 mandatory minicamps, and that's not even talking about rookie minicamp before that. So ton of practices. It all went by so fast, and man, does this defense look real, real good.
Yes, it does. It does look really good. Lots of continuity on that Vikings defense. Basically, all the starters and all the coaches returning. So no surprise that they've looked as good as they've looked so far, through the offseason program as we get ready to head to training camp. So that's sort of a recap of what's happened. Let's hear from Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer. He had a press conference today, the final day of the mandatory minicamp, and he kind of put a bow on the Vikings offseason program. Here's Coach Zim.
Okay, it was good to get finished up today. We had a lot of alumni out here. Got a chance to introduce them to the team. We also had all of our Viking staff members here and watching practice today, so it was good for them. And we finished up on a good note. Excited about where this team has the opportunity to go, and we're looking forward to get back in about 5 weeks.
Mike, how do you assess the off-season program now that it's done?
Good, we pretty much stayed healthy, which was good. I think the guys did a nice job in taking care of each other and understanding how we were playing. And we got a lot of situational work in. We got a lot of areas where we wanted to look at things, both offensively and defensively and special teams. So I think all those things were good. And then, we'll evaluate it this summer, and kind of the ones that we like, we'll keep going and we'll throw the other ones out.
To the team here as you said tomorrow?
Just pretty much the same thing I always, tell them this time of year, keep working. We make sure they come back in not just jogging shape, but in shape to plant and drive and break and get in and out of stances and things like that. Make sure the good citizens take care of each other. Typical goodbye speech.
Given where you left off last season and the pieces that were added to this team, is there any extra edge or sort of urgency that you're sensing, to knowing how close you are to getting to that Super Bowl?
I don't know. It's still early, and we can't start at 13-3. We have to start at 0-0, and we obviously have a tough schedule. We got to get it. We play on both coasts. We play on Thursday night in LA. We there's a lot of things that we're going to have to overcome. We're going to have to be a good football team in order to do what we want to do.
Just bring that mic.
I was pleased with him. I thought he did a nice job. You know, it's still a learning experience for him, and but I thought the way he handled himself, the way he tried to learn and listen and all those things, I thought it was good.
Since you got here, you've done kind of these alumni barbecues, been kind of had an open door policy with some of the, you know, former players or all the former players. Is that something that's happened at teams you've been at before, or is that something that you wanted to do here?
Not really. I just think it's important that, you know, a lot of these guys have pretty good lives and pretty good careers because of those guys there. You know, if those guys wouldn't have done the things they did, then these guys wouldn't have the opportunities that they had. You know, have all these alumni, heck, they had to have jobs in the summer. They had, you know, so I think it's important that we honor the guys that came before us, not only in with the Vikings, but with the entire NFL.
Kind of special relationship you have with Coach Burns and having been one of a few, only nine ever in our history.
Well, I think Coach Burns and I have the same language most of the time. And, you know, it's just really all the coaches that have come before me, when I see them, I always tell them, you know, you're more than welcome. Come out here and come to practice and come look at the new facility. And, you know, same thing with the alumni. You know, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have this job either. So, but Coach Burns is really a special, special guy. I've gotten to know him and Coach Grant really well, and you know, it's good for me to sit down and, you know, talk a little bit about football and a little bit about life.
Exploring the ways you can use Anthony Barr a little bit more. We see him working with some of the D-line stuff.
Yeah, well, we're trying to get him, you know, where he's more comfortable rushing against linemen. So yeah, it's just that was part of our plan in the spring.
All right, next we're going to go to quarterback Kirk Cousins, who also spoke with reporters during this mandatory minicamp. We actually just conducted the first interview in TCO studios, in the television studio, and the subject of the interview was Kirk Cousins. He joined us, so make sure you stay tuned to Vikings.com. That interview will be up on the website shortly. Kirk Cousins, the first interview in TCO studios. He also posted a picture of it on his Instagram account, Chris.
He did? That was pretty cool.
Now, he didn't tag me.
I know. He's got a...
He didn't tag your boy.
He's got to tag you. Waseca, how do we say it?
Waseca.
Come on, man. Waseca, man. I'm trying to learn all these Minnesota.
A New Yorker up in the Midwest, he can't say Waseca.
I'm trying to learn all these Minnesota town names. Waseca Wabi.
Yeah, he didn't tag me in this thing. I didn't say anything to him about it. It's fine. It was nice of him to post that. Anyway, that interview is coming up shortly. But what we have for you right now is Kirk Cousins talking to reporters during the minicamp.
There's a point there where you and Adam stepped aside and you're showing them something about a break.
Yeah.
Is that just part of the process of quarterback and wide receiver understanding what you're looking for from him there?
Yeah, it is a process of saying, hey, this is the way I've done it for 6 years. You've done it a different way for 5 years. Let's try to talk about why you've had success, why I've had success. Let's find some middle ground. Let's decide where I'm going to learn your way, you're going to learn my way. That's the process I'm talking about. And every route, every concept, really, we could talk about each individual one. And the best part of the whole thing is, you know, you have a chance when the communication is as healthy as it is. You know, he's receptive to listening. I can understand what he's getting at. The same with Steph, you know. And so that's where when I say I'm really excited about the locker room and the players I work with, it's moments like that where you feel really good about the communication and that they're hearing you and you're hearing them.
As you've gotten older, how have you learned to deal kind of with the noise and blocking that out and expectations to where they don't get a bit too big? Because, I mean, as a veteran, does it get easier as you go along? Do you have a routine for that?
I don't know that you think about it a whole lot. That's probably the best way is ignorance is bliss. So I just try to ignore the noise, not even know what's going on or being said. And that's usually the best route. But I know what I'm being coached to do. I know what I have to do. And so I don't need the outside to tell me because I have good accountability here. I'm hard on myself. So I'll always be aware of where I need to play better. And sometimes the noise may be, hey, you're not playing well enough, but I know on the inside of what I'm being coached to do, I'm actually doing exactly what I need to. And other times I know when we've won and games I've played, I haven't played very well, but everyone's patting me on the back because to the outside it looks like I did the right thing. And I know deep down I'm not where I need to be yet. So I just got to continue to listen to the people in here who know what they're talking about in each and every play. And trust that if I do that, good things will happen.
You had to obviously get used to new offensive coordinator last year, and now you did it again. How do you feel it went with you and Coach Flip, you know, throughout the spring, getting on the same page and all that kind of stuff?
I was just surprised, pleasantly surprised with the rapport. There was a fair amount of carryover from what I've done in the past, so that was a good first step. And then whenever I did suggest something, he's just been a great listener. He's been a great communicator. I love his passion for the game. I feel like, although we've never crossed paths in the past, we do have similar backgrounds, and a lot of times we're coming from a similar perspective. So I've been really enjoyed working with him, and I can't wait to build reps and build experiences with him such that we have a bit of a rapport and a dynamic and a reputation around the league. Hopefully we can get there.
When you're on your own in July, or I guess in the off season, how do you maintain that level of continuity and kind of continue on with what you've built with your receivers? Are you guys maybe watching film and you're texting, hey, I saw this, or is there a way to do that when you guys are all separate places?
I think the more important level of communication will be between me and the coaches, talking about some philosophy things and how I want plays to be designed. So I'll have my iPad with me as I go home and spend time every day going back through, because a bit of it is, it's a bit like drinking through a fire hose right now. I need to use the 5 or 6 weeks of the summer to go back and all the stuff I didn't catch, go back through and say, okay, I had starred this, I had checkmarked this, it's something to go back to when we had time rather than take time when we're so busy. So I'm gonna go back through it all, make a list, probably, you know, get on the phone with Coach Flip or Coach Stefanski or an email and just talk through it all to kind of get each question answered over the summer.
You gonna try to get together with any of your receivers in between minicamp and training camp like you did down in Atlanta a few months ago?
Nothing's planned as of right now. As I go through things, if we feel that's necessary, we can certainly do that. But going back to my point about how we do have 6 weeks from when we show up in July to the start of the season, that is a lot of time. And so we also want to pace ourselves and not treat July 1st like it's September 10th. So we're gonna pace ourselves and so probably not would be the answer.
Last couple for Kurt.
As far as being here, Coach Zimmer was talking yesterday about no one's skipping minicamp for contractual reasons or anything. And he said the guys just like being here around each other. What sort of has your observation been of that team dynamic?
Well, when I've said it's a good locker room and great teammates, what I mean by that is, or one example of that would be that people here just want to come and work and win. And there's not a lot of other motives or other reasons to be out here. And when I talked to Eric Kendricks and congratulated him on signing his extension, he said, Kirk, really, I decided to sign because I wanted to be here because it's all about winning here. And there's no other agendas. It's just win football games. And he looked at me and he said, you'll see. You're not here long enough, but you'll see it when we get there to the season. You'll know. So it's great to hear that from a team leader like that, and minicamp reflects that, but I felt that quite a bit day in and day out, and it's why they've won in the past, and hopefully it gives us a great chance to win in the future.
All right, and finally, our last piece of sound here. Chris, did you watch practice today?
I watched practice today. I actually helped one of our shooters kind of point out all the shots for the highlight video, and man, this next guy made a play at practice today.
Mike Hughes.
That's right.
Had a day.
He did.
At practice.
He was all over the field. I mean, obviously, he's taking the punt returns and the kick returns with Coach Prefer on special teams, battling with Marcus Sherrills at that spot. But then on defense, he really stood out. I mean, he made a big play today, knocking down a pass. The whole defense on the side kind of went
hollering.
They all went crazy. It's kind of like he like scored a touchdown or something. That's how crazy they were going. So it was good to see the team and especially the defense rally behind rookie Mike Hughes today at practice.
Let's take a listen to what Mike Hughes had to say.
Starting to feel quite comfortable in this defense.
It's just all about learning the playbook, knowing where you're supposed to be, and those things that help you be around the ball, like you said. And I've just been dialed into my playbook and just trying to feel as comfortable as I can so I can compete.
Where are you at as far as comfort level? I mean, just you feel like it's instantaneous, or is there still a lot of thinking going on?
I have a long ways to go. Some plays I know exactly where I'm supposed to be. A lot of plays I catch myself thinking, but the vets, they help me out where I'm supposed to be, and they help me compete and feel as comfortable as I can.
Anybody in particular that's kind of taking you?
Pretty much everybody. I can't give anybody specific credit. Pretty much the whole defense.
Were you overall pleased with your spring? First one, obviously.
I'm pleased. Still a long ways to go, but feel pretty comfortable with everything I've been learning, everything we've been installing. I feel pretty comfortable, and on the next 5 weeks, I'll be dialed into my playbook and I'll be ready to go.
Take us through that interception you have down there.
Linebacker made a great play. I can't take all the credit. you know, we always preach tips and overthrows. We got to take advantage of them, so that's what I do.
And they had some of the legends or players of the past that they introduced. Right. Do you know much about those guys, or did you, or you got to learn the history there, or what?
I learned a little bit of history there. I didn't really know much about them. They're way past my time, obviously, so it was nice to hear some of those facts about them.
What did you see the play you had down in the sideline?
You know, they had a stack formation. Me and a corner made an adjustment. I saw the receiver try to get to the sideline, undercut it, and just try to make a play.
Nickel or outside? What do you, I mean, as you go toward training camp, what do you focus on?
You know, wherever they want me. You know, right now I think the main focus is learning the nickel position. Corner is something I've been playing recently, so just learning the nickel position, getting comfortable, and just, you know, doing everything they tell me to do.
You feel like, go ahead.
They told you to continue studying that nickel spot these next 5 weeks?
Yeah, definitely. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Got you a little late, Mike. Can I ask one question? Your transition, I know that they have a lot of, you know, position flexibility and also punt return. Right. How do you feel as far as your comfort level with everything being thrown at you right now?
I feel pretty comfortable. You know, the coaches are doing a good job of allowing me to be in the right spots, and I've just been taking full advantage by being in my playbook and learning everything from the vet. So.
Next 5 weeks, are you going to study? Are you going to take it? What kind of approach are you going to take as you get ready for training camp?
Yeah, I'll be training and definitely studying in my playbook. So, you know, by the time we come back, I'll still be comfortable with everything and ready to learn again.
All right, Wobby, you were at every single practice this offseason. You've interviewed how many players now throughout the offseason? Seen every press conference. We've all been there for that. So I want to hear what your takeaways are. What are your main takeaways from this mini camp? So much happened. It was great to see the defense come together. Great to see John DeFilippo and the offense really kind of get their ground here at mini camp. But I want to hear your major takeaway, the first one that you had from this mini camp.
All right. It's all about the capital D, defense. That's every right. One of my takeaways starts with D, defense. Defense looks really good. And like we said, we're not surprised. I mean, there's continuity here with this group. The players and coaches, they're all returning. These guys know each other. They know the system. There's not a ton of new things to install. I thought Coach Zimmer had an interesting comment, funny comment, when he was on with Voice of the Vikings' Paul Allen earlier this week from day two of the mandatory minicamp. He said, you know, the coaches and players, they always get annoyed when I go away to the ranch for a few days because I come back with some crazy ideas, you know, that I've drawn up and that I want to install. But because basically everyone knows everything about this defense, the defense looks really good. And I expect no drop off next season. We've added Sheldon Richardson, which is an upgrade at three technique. So my first takeaway, all of my takeaways start with D. My first takeaway is defense. I think it looks really good.
That's a good call. I mean, that was the first thing I said when we were talking earlier in the show. I mean, it is really crazy. Even just seeing Harrison Smith run around and practice for the first time this offseason, it's just like, wow.
Yep.
Number 22, he's all over the place. And seeing the way Terrence Newman is just talking with the younger cornerbacks like Mackenzie Alexander and Mike Hughes and Newman has really taken on that like coach role with some of the younger guys on the defense, and he even played some snaps at safety.
Yeah.
So just seeing the way Terrence Newman's kind of taking control, especially with the defensive backs, that's been really cool to see. Yeah. So.
All right, number two.
What's number two?
DeFilippo. Awesome to watch him work with our offense. He's got great energy. He's got great creativity. And we interviewed every assistant coach, Chris, for what we normally do is when the offseason program is about to come to an end, we interview every assistant coach.
Yep.
And we put those interviews up on Vikings.com throughout the summer. When the players and coaches are gone, we space those interviews out. You and Cardinal do a great job of that. And so, you know, all the offensive coaches that I talked to, Tony Sperano, offensive line coach, Kevin Stefanski, quarterbacks coach, Daryl Hazel, wide receivers coach, and then Kennedy Polamalu, running backs coach, and Clancy Barone, the tight ends coach. I asked all of them, What's it like working with Flip? What's it like working with Coach DeFilippo?
Yeah.
Has Coach DeFilippo done a good job balancing new ideas with sticking with what's always working? And they all love it. They've all been very pleased. They've all enjoyed working with DeFilippo. None of that is surprising. Of course they're going to say that. They're not going to say anything bad about DeFilippo. But then I dig down a little bit deeper. And I'm like, what's, you know, what's the one thing that sort of stands out about him? And they're always like, his energy. He's got great energy.
Yep.
You know, and so I think that that can be contagious and that can be infectious. When you got a guy who's coming to practice every day with a bunch of energy, that's what John DeFilippo is doing. So my second takeaway from the offseason program is DeFilippo is bringing a lot of energy, and I think that's good for our offense.
And it's funny you say energy, because when Kirk Cousins, we played that sound earlier from his press conference, and he was asked about Vikings offensive coordinator John DeFilippo, and the first thing he said was it is his energy that mm-hmm. kind of – that's what stands out. That's the biggest thing that stands out. He knows he calls the plays, this and that, but it's his energy and the love that he has for the game of football that, that really stands out for yep. Cousins. So, all right, number three.
Number three for me, Dalvin. Dalvin Cook yep. is looking good as he tries to recover and return from his knee injury. Haven't you thought so?
I really thought yeah. so. I was kind of on the sideline there with one of our shooters kind of assisting the shots for the highlight video, and Dalvin Cook kind of took a hand off and ran right past us, and he just smiled.
Yeah.
And then he looked over at General Manager Rick Spielman, and Rick smiled back at him.
Yeah.
And my Curious and I, our photog, were sitting there, and we were like, man, he looks good.
Yeah, man, he does look good. The feet look good. They're quick. He's making cuts. He's changing direction. He's getting through the hole. He's running low. He's catching the ball. He's moving on the knee, and I think he's on track to be ready to go for the regular season. So that's been really good. Observation number four, Chrissy.
Let's hear it.
David Morgan.
Wow.
I like how he looks, man. David Morgan, I thought, had a great spring in our offseason program.
That's you're going out there with that one.
I really liked it. Well, I mean, we got Kyle Rudolph. Everyone knows that. And, you know, we drafted Tyler Conklin, and people are going to be excited about him when they see him in training camp.
Yep.
But David Morgan, he does a little bit of everything. And I think everyone assumes that he's like the blocking guy who does the dirty work. Well, he can catch the ball too, and he can run routes. And I think he's a tough guy. I think he really cares about football. I think he cares about being good. And I just came away from the offseason program impressed with him. I thought he made a lot of progress. I thought physically he looks better. He looks good in the offense. I think he's a good fit for John DeFilippo. We saw what the Eagles did with tight ends
yep.
last season.
Yep.
I think David Morgan stands to benefit from the addition of John DeFilippo. So my fourth observation from the offseason program is David Morgan, I think, has really stood out.
And that's funny, because Kyle Rudolph, during his press conference, was kind of talking about the way that John DeFilippo brings out the best in tight ends. And
yeah.
he brought up Gary Barnidge with the Cleveland Browns. He brought up the multiple tight ends that had success in Philadelphia last year. So yeah. David Moore, that's a good pickup, just to pick out David Morgan, because he can really have he can have some other impacts.
I think
just
so
blocking.
Too. Yep. So. All right.
What's next?
Number five, my final one.
Let's hear it.
Danny Isadora.
Yeah.
All right. So here's what happened. Pat Elflein has been recovering from his surgery, yep. right? So because he couldn't play center, they slid Nick Easton over to play first team center.
Yep. Instead of guard, so, where he usually plays.
Right. So you know where I'm going with this, yep. right? So Danny Isadora is the one who stepped up and played left guard.
With the first team.
I thought he looked good doing it. I thought he filled in nicely. And there wasn't, you know, a robust rotation there of guys coming in and out and trying different guys. They used Danny Isadora for a lot of it. So now, obviously, when Elflein comes back, I think you slide Easton back to left guard, and Isadora may not be running with the first team anymore.
Yep.
Or maybe he will. I don't know. But the silver lining in not having Pat Elflein for the offseason program was you got to take a look at some combinations that you may otherwise not have looked at. So you got to throw Tom Compton in there. You got to throw Danny Isadora in there. You got to slide Mike Remmers inside to play guard and put
Rashad Hill
out yep. there. Yeah, so I thought that was really good, and I thought the one who kind of shined was Danny Isadora. So
yeah.
I've been encouraged by his progress.
Yeah, that's a good call, because looking at the first team today, a combination that I saw was Reef, then on the inside was Isadora, then in the middle was Nick Easton, and then on the other side was Remmers, and then they went with Rashad Hill on the other side. So, yeah, yeah. It was, That was a different grouping that I saw, and to see Danny Isidore, a second-year player who got a few snaps last year, but not as many as he would have liked, to see him just thrown out there with the ones was pretty cool.
Yeah, and so now that those five that you mentioned, Chris, like you didn't talk about Avion Collins, who played last year for us.
That's right.
And you didn't say Tom Compton, who played last year.
With the Bears
and has played with the Redskins. Two guys who have experience playing on your bench.
That's right.
Okay, so, and then now once you get Elflein back, Danny Isidore is a third guy who's got experience playing and who we like and is on our bench. So I know everyone's concerned about the offensive line, but I'm telling you, there are bodies here that Tony Sperano and Andrew Janoco, our two offensive line coaches, can work with.
That's right.
We got a chance to have a good starting five and quality depth behind those guys. And you know who else we didn't even mention yet?
Who did we
not? The draft pick.
That's right. Brian O'Neill. And there's another draft pick, Colby Gassett, who was drafted later, fifth or sixth round, who looks like, I mean, he looks like a mauler.
Yeah. I know we don't have the Dallas Cowboys offensive line from the 1994 season. Like in the early 90s, they had all those great offensive linemen. I'm not saying we have that yet.
But
we got something to work with here. So I'm excited about what our offensive line can do. I thought it was the most improved group last year on the team.
Absolutely. The year before where we had all those injury problems and stuff like that.
So it's the most improved group from last year, and we've added to it. I know we lost Joe Berger, and that is a loss, but we've added to it. We added a draft pick, Brian O'Neill, and we added Tom Compton in free agency. And, you know, we're going to have Elflein and Easton come back from injuries, and Remmers and Reef. And I like the group. I think we got a shot to be a good offensive line this year. I'm excited about that.
It's definitely deep, and it's definitely going to be a battle for who obviously makes the team and then who's on the practice squad and who will not be with us after that. But we'll see what happens there. It's better to have that problem and be deep at that position, as we know in the past, with injuries that occur on the offensive line.
Right. Okay, before we get to fan mail, you've got an announcement.
Yeah, big announcement. Big day for VEN. We do know that there is a brand new studio here at the TCO Performance Center. You can see that video of Wabi and PA introducing our brand new studio, which is amazing. And we also know that we sit in this brand new TCO radio studio that we've gotten the chance to do the Wobcasts in, which is great. And then KFan also does their broadcasts here and there in this room. And now there's a new update, and that is there's a brand new website that Vikings.com is rolling out. And you will be able to see that website by the time this podcast airs. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing for the content. It's a good thing for our group. And it's a good thing, most importantly, for you, the fans.
Right. And it's the website domain and URL is the same. It's Vikings.com.
That's right.
It's just going to be upgraded, improved, and it's going to have a new look, right?
Yeah, so I'll give you some of the upgrades and what it's going to look like. Ryan Cardinal and myself have put together the new website, built all the web pages over, and got all the content back on there. All 32 NFL teams have now switched over to this new content management system, is what we call it. There's a new sleek and clean type look. It'll look exactly kind of like the NFL.com look that there is now. And the website, the biggest change, it's going to be mobily responsive. So what you see on your desktop is what you will see when you go to Vikings.com on your mobile device. So,
sweet.
It's going to be quick loading time, very timely and easier for us to publish. Breaking news, which is a big deal, and obviously there's a larger display of the videos and the photo galleries and the content, so it's just going to, everything's upgraded. It's going to look great.
Good job, man. Great work by you and Ryan. I know you guys work with the NFL digital team a ton on that, so that'll be an exciting day when you guys can launch that and get things going, and I think fans are going to like it.
It's going to be good.
It's good. All right, we got two more things to do. We got a discussion topic, and we got some fan mail. Let's do the discussion topic first.
All right, I like this one. We were sitting at practice today, and we were talking over some. We like this little discussion segment that we've been doing on the Wobcast here, and today's is a good one.
All right, so here's the question. Randy Moss is going into the Hall of Fame this summer.
Okay.
And I got people who've been emailing me, and they're just like, when are we going to retire Randy Moss's jersey number? You know, and I'm like, well, he's in the Ring of Honor. He's going in the Hall of Fame. I guess I haven't thought about retiring his jersey number. So the question is, should Randy Moss's jersey number be retired?
Number 84.
Should number 84 be retired in Vikings lore? What say you, Chrissy?
I say 100% yes. Hmm. I don't know why it's not retired. I think it needs to be retired. I think going just 84, you associate that with the Vikings purple and gold. That it's just 84. It's got to be retired. No one else should be able to wear that number.
Yeah,
going
like
forward.
Like you don't want Andre Allison or Bucky Hodges running around with 84 on.
Bucky Hodges that one year picks 84.
I get it.
And
all right.
He's
but here's the problem with this. I don't like Randy Moss. I agree with you that his career is deserving of having his number retired. Like if you think about all the athletes and all the sports who get their jerseys retired, and you tell someone that Randy Moss has his jersey retired number 84 for the Vikings, they'd be like, yeah, that makes some sense. That's not out of place. You know, that's not like, you know, some guy getting his jersey retired who doesn't deserve it.
Yeah.
So I get it, but I'm done with football teams retiring numbers, I think.
Wow.
I think I'm done with the practice.
That's a bold statement.
I'm done with the practice. Now, I will say the Vikings have retired numbers. They have six of them.
Can you read that list?
Yeah, I got the list. Fran Tarkenton's number 10 is retired.
Okay.
Alan Page's number 88 is retired.
Okay.
Jim Marshall's number 70 is retired. Corey Stringer's number 77 is retired.
For sure.
Mick Tinglehoff's number 53 is retired. And Chris Carter's number 80 is retired. So you got six that are retired. Randy's would be the seventh. Here's the problem. We got 90-man rosters for more than half the year.
That is very true.
We're going to have duplicate numbers?
That's
I don't want that.
That's a tough one.
All right. So I think
can
teams,
you go triple digits?
No, we're not going to go triple digits. Get out of here.
Can
with
you
that.
Go triple digits? I don't know.
No, not in football. So we're going to be running out of numbers up in this thing pretty soon, and I just think we've got more ways that we can honor players. I think it's a cool thing to do in baseball and basketball where you've got 99 numbers, but a basketball team has 12 players, a baseball team has 25, a hockey team's got what? What does a hockey team have? 20?
Yeah, it's 20.
So you can do it in those sports. You can't do it in football. You got 99 numbers you can use, and unlike those other sports, in football, if you play a certain position, you got to wear a certain set of numbers.
Yeah, that's true.
So you can't be a receiver and wear a number in the 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s or 90s, right? So
that is
or
true.
20s. Yeah. So with the limitations where you got to wear a certain number if you're in a certain position, and with the fact that we have 90-man rosters for more than half the year, I just don't think we should retire numbers anymore.
My only problem with that is the other numbers that are retired, and then you put Randy Moss in that conversation and you say, man, this guy should have his number retired.
I know, but so then what about Adrian? You going to retire his number?
I think his should be retired,
okay,
too.
So now you got eight numbers that you can't use anymore.
That's true.
All right, Harrison Smith, what about him? You going to retire his number when he's all said and done?
In football, it really is. You're right. It's tough. It's because there's that many players that you hold on your roster for a majority of the season where fans don't even see a majority of the fans don't see these numbers every day, the 90 guys that are on the team. So I don't know. It's tough. You find a way to honor a player. That's growing up a Yankees fan. I know all about retiring numbers. They've retired how many 20-plus numbers now?
Yep.
So I know all about it. But obviously, like you said, baseball is different than football. You have a lot of players that you have for a majority of the year. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I retire number 84. I don't like Bucky Hodges wearing number 84. Okay.
Well, I got something for you. You ain't going to have to worry about that. Bucky Hodges won't be wearing 84 anymore for us. All right.
Maybe on another team.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Let's wrap this edition of the Wobcast up with some fan mail. All right, here we go.
All right, we got the mailbag segment. Number one is from Nicholas, and the question is, hi, Mike. What are your impressions of Brandon Zylstra? He was quite good up here in the CFL. Great hands, and he has some speed. Does he have a shot of sticking with the club? I hope so. Nick.
Nick, I think he does. I think he does have a shot of sticking with the team. I've been very impressed with him. I think he is right up there in the competition for a wide receiver spot, 3, 4, 5, or 6 on the final 53. Brandon Zylstra is a name to watch at Vikings training camp. I think he's got a shot.
Yeah, I agree. I also know that Coach John DeFilippo said, man, That guy made a great catch at practice
today. Oh, did he?
Yeah, he was all over that
Good.
In his press conference. So that was cool to see. So we'll see what happens.
Hey, he's one of us too, Chrissy. He's a Minnesotan.
That's right. He is a Minnesotan.
So he's got that going for
him. He's from Spicer, Minnesota? Is that what we found out?
Yeah, he did go up to the CFL and all that, and he played Division III college football in Minnesota as well. But, he's one of us, so he's got that going for him.
The next is from Max Olson from Des Moines. Are we going to give Anthony Barr or Stephon Diggs a contract extension soon? I feel like both of these guys have earned it, and it would make me feel a lot better if we inked them sooner rather than later.
I agree. It would make me feel a lot better, too. I don't know if you can keep everyone or not. That's what Rick Spielman and Rob Brzezinski are working on. You know, those guys do a great job of balancing the cap and managing it and keeping the core of the roster together. I think Diggs and Barr are certainly deserving of it. They seem like they would be next in the pecking order of extensions. I think you'd also would add Daniil Hunter and Trey Waynes to that list. Those are guys deserving of extensions at some point, I would think. So I don't know. Hard to pay everyone, but you're certainly going to try. I would love to see a deal for those two guys and keep them as a part of the core of this team.
All right, and the last one is from Gino Grinberg. With many of the changes to our offense this season, new quarterback, new OC, and Cook being healthy, what are some of the differences that you think we will notice once the season kicks off?
I've gotten this question in a couple of other places, Chris, and you've been out there for practice. You've seen it. Like, I don't think that the Vikings offense is going to be one that it's got one or two things that it does and that's it, and that's what you know it for. Like, it's not going to be like, you know, Colin Kaepernick or RG3 with the zone read. Like, that sort of was its identity, right? Or like Warren Moon in the run and shoot offense where it just bombs away all the time down the field. Or the 98 Vikings. I think it's a well-rounded offense that can do everything. I think it can do zone read if it wants. It can do RPOs if it wants. Yep. It can do deep passes. It can do West Coast. It can be run heavy. It can do bootlegs. It can do seven-step drops. So I'm not trying to skirt the question. I just think we have to embrace the idea that we have a quarterback who can do everything. He's mobile. He can stay in the pocket. He can bootleg. He can throw deep. He can throw short. He can RPO. So I think the difference is it's going to be a complete offense with a quarterback who can execute everything. It's not an offense where you got to take a look at your quarterback, figure out what he can do and what he can't do, and just focus on what he's doing right. I think Kirk can do all of it.
And you've seen the way Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen have adjusted quarterback to quarterback, whether it was Sam Bradford or Case Keenum or Teddy Bridgewater. They've really just, it's like they haven't skipped a beat every new quarterback that's come. So this is another step, and I think it's going to be a good one. I think there's nothing but positive that comes out of Kirk Cousins.
So. Yeah. You know, we took a question on the pick six this week. You know, can the Vikings have 2 1,000-yard receivers with Diggs and Thielen?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And I think so too, because 2 years ago, we had, two guys with 900 plus, Diggs and Thielen.
Yep.
Last year, Thielen went way over 1,000. Diggs missed a couple of games, or else I think he would have pushed it.
He would have got
And now we've got a quarterback with 3 straight 4,000-yard passing seasons.
That's right.
So I think the pieces are in place to get a couple 1,000-yard receivers.
Yards have to go somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So now I know Cousins, you know, he's had success throwing to backs and tight ends and stuff like that, but this probably is as good a receiving group as Kirk has had, if you include Rudy in there with Diggs and Thielen, don't you think?
That's pretty good. And then you throw in Kendall Wright, and hopefully Laquon Treadwell comes along as well. And that doesn't even include some other guys out there that can potentially make an impact. So we'll see. And I think Dalvin Cook, I really think in the screen game, he's going to have
me too. Now, so you're also going to want to have, you know, you're going to want to run the ball. And, you know, we asked John DeFilippo in our interview with him right after minicamp. You know, I said, I know there's going to be a lot of challenges, and I know you're a coach, so you're a perfectionist, so you're never happy with anything. But, like, what's one thing you're really happy with right now?
Yeah.
He said running the ball. He said we're running the ball great, and it's only in shorts and minicamp. But for what we can see so far, I really have been pleased with how we've been running the ball. So
don't forget about Latavius Murray as
well. Yeah, man, it's a good 1-2 punch in the backfield with those two.
Yeah.
All righty. That's going to do it for this edition of the Wobcast. We thank you, as always, for listening, and we thank you for checking out Vikings Entertainment Network content all throughout the offseason program. It's been a blast bringing it to you, and it's going to continue during the break, and it's going to pick up during training camp later in July. On behalf of producer and co-host Chris Corso, I'm your host, Wobby, signing off for now. Have a great weekend, everyone. So, yeah!